Hope you'll continue to pray now as Elder Lois Fuller speaks to us.
I feel to be triply blessed this morning. Last night I got to see a precious little sister join this church. What a great blessing it is to see those of young age desire to take up their cross and follow the Lord. And that's the first thing that we're to do in the kingdom of God on this earth, is to follow in His footsteps. I was in the state of Oklahoma a few years ago, and they baptized a young man in the swimming pool behind the fella's house. And I just noticed as they walked out into the pool, you couldn't see anything. But as they came out of the pool, you could see footprints where they left as they walked out of the pool. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to go to Hebrews this morning in the 4th chapter. I want to talk about resting and labor. Now that may seem odd to you this morning because the things that's been mentioned, and especially prayer. But I noticed nobody touched the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about hallowed be thy name either. That was a disciples' prayer that he taught them to pray. They didn't ask how to pray. They asked, Lord, teach us to pray, when they saw how short they were. And you're a beautiful congregation this morning, and it's a high privilege in my life to be able to try to stand and speak to you. And if the Lord don't bless me, I'll be out of Brother Sonny and Brother Guy's way very shortly. So you pray for all of us. In the 9th verse, I'll start. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he is also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall short of the same example of unbelief. It's a little bit odd to say that you rest and work, but you know, it's awful hard to rest if you haven't been laboring. You can be sick, and I got hurt back when I was 26 years old, and the doctor kept telling me that I needed rest, and I had rested so much that I was tired of the bed and the recliner and the stretcher where they was trying to stretch my back into position where that it used to be. And you that have back trouble know what I'm talking about, and you that don't have it, if you ever get it, you won't never get rid of it, because it'll stay with you as long as you live upon this earth. But now, when a man is laboring, it's good to just sit down in the recliner and rest, or lay down upon the bed and rest. But the peculiarity of this rest is that we are resting in a finished work. As you go on and read the scripture, it tells us that although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What works was he talking about? Was he talking about just the creation? I don't think so. Because in Timothy 2:9, he tells us that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. A lot of people said he chose them out of Adam's race. I don't believe that. God chose his people before Adam ever had a race. So he didn't choose them. He took them out of Adam's race, all right, but he didn't choose them out of Adam's race. That's kind of like the word accepting and receiving. There's a lot of difference in those two words. All you got to do is just accept the Lord Jesus and he'll save you. Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people receive the Lord, all right, but there's a difference in it, in receiving something and accepting something. I receive a bad cold from people sometimes. I don't really accept it. because I don't really care that much about it. There's a lot of things that we receive in this old natural body that we didn't accept in order to get it, but yet we did receive it. So let us look for just a few moments of time here, and I'll give way to Brother Sonny and let him preach to us. So let us therefore labor. You know, it's wonderful to go back and find out what a word is there for when you find it in the Scripture especially, because it's there for a purpose. And if we go back and look at this, and the first thing up here said let. Now, let is used a lot of times in the Bible, and it's used sometimes that you couldn't let it if you wanted to. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, it wouldn't make any difference. You could try all you want to, all of the human race, devils and everything else, angels, and couldn't let God or stop God from doing anything that he desired to do. So when we talk about let, sometimes we can do that and sometimes we can't. Keep that in mind. We might refer to it again. Let us therefore fear. Now, you know, there's two kinds of fear, especially taught in the Bible. One of the fears is a quaking of the body. And another fear is that which gets you wisdom. Now, wisdom is the thing that capacitates you to understand something. Not only that, but when you have the wisdom, you know something about something. I guess I rubbed this slick. Some of y'all maybe have not heard it. The first car, I've played with them all my life. The first car I ever overhauled was a 39 Plymouth. And I didn't know that the bottom half of a main bearing didn't have a hole in it. And I put one of them on top about 10 miles down the road. And by the way, this was a preacher's car. About 10 miles down the road, it started knocking. Well, now, I never have done that again. What taught me better? Experience. See, experience in that of the fear of God will grant you wisdom. But when you come to the place that the quaking of fear in this world, have you ever noticed a little child? I was in the mall a few years ago, and a little 2.5, I believe they said, year old child, and he was topping the timber because he got away from mama and didn't know where mama was. And there wasn't nobody that could do anything for that little child. And I picked the little child up and happened to know his mother. I picked him up. I said, honey, look yonder. Yonder's mama right yonder. Now, that comforted that little. All the quaking and fear was gone from that little child. There was something in that, you see, that gave this child the ability to understand and to know something. That's the point that I'd like for you to get out of what I might say to you this morning. I appreciate very much having Elder Lawrence back in the area with us here. I kind of hated to see Brother Junior go off down to Atlanta, but I know them people is very glad of it down there. But you see, I started out with this boy. It looks like I ought to be a whole lot better preacher if I'd have grown like he has down the road. I noticed in the autobiography that they put out is I was ordained before he was. And I tell T.L. Webb he ought to be a better preacher than I am because he's been preaching longer than I have. But you see, that don't always work. Because it takes the Spirit of God to make a man preach. Now, I don't care. You can study. I've got friends that could quote this Bible a whole lot better than I can after studying in it 45, 50 years. But they don't understand a thing in the world. They know the Scripture. They know the letter of the law better than most of Primitive Baptist preachers do. But let me tell you something, child of God. They don't know a thing in the world about the Spirit of God. And if a man ever preaches, he'll preach above his education that he's got here in this world. He's going to preach something that's contrary to the soul-stinking nature that we live in. Paul made the statement that there dwelleth no good thing in my flesh, that is. There is not. This flesh is not going to worship God. It takes the Spirit of God in an individual, and you go over and prove this to yourself if you like to in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans and about the 16th verse. All three of those are mentioned in that particular verse over in the Roman letter. You see, Paul tried his best to identify God to a bunch of Roman people there when he came to Rome, and he got down to the 11th chapter and the 33rd verse, and his mind just went out the top. He said, oh, the depth, the riches, and the knowledge of God, and how unsearchable are his ways, and past finding out. There's a lot about God when the last sermon is preached upon this earth at the end of time that'll never be preached about Almighty God. Because we have a great God. We've not only got a great God, we have one that took a body of flesh upon himself, came into this world, and kept the law to a jot and a tittle, and was in all points tempted as we are. Now that sounds like he, you know, kind of succumbed to it, doesn't it? But language fails there. That you just can't get any better than that. But he was without sin, even no guile was found in his mouth while that he journeyed here about 33 and a half years of time. For 30 years of his life, he never performed a miracle. It's funny to me that if preaching the gospel would have saved somebody during those 30 years in this time and got them ready for heaven, then Christ ought to have been preaching from the time they say that a bad child comes subject of his sins. I'm going to tell you, that little child that stood up here, I believe Brother Ronnie said she was about 6 years old. If that little child, there's no way in the world you could teach that to it. I don't care how you can teach to it. I've got a little 2.5-year-old nephew at home, and he's already picked up, and we ought to be careful how that we act in the front of children. You know, he's already picked up that he wants to say amen. He don't know what prayer is, but he know what amen is. He's already learned about this day and the food that we have to thank him for, and all the people that you've given us. I'm going to tell you, that's why that we ought to be careful. I recall one time being up in one of the northern states. In fact, the business is up above where Brother Bradley is in Ohio. This sister came to me, and I guess she'd come trying to get me to say it's all right to let her child do what he wanted to. But that's an old Baptist preacher's the wrong man to go to if you're planning on doing something beside what you can find in the Bible. She wanted to know if it's all right to let her little 8-year-old girl go to Sunday school with her little friends. I said, that's all right if that's where you want her to wind up at. She looked at me and said, well, I don't want to persuade her life any. I said, woman, quit lying to me. Do you go in the home and set a bowl of peas and taters on one end of the table and M&Ms on the other and say, now, kid, you can just eat whichever one you want to? She said, well, the kid would eat the M&M's till it dies. I said, that's my point right there. You see, let me have them, and I'll twist the arm to make old Baptist out of them if I can, because I know what it is. I have experienced it, and that's the best teacher that you'll ever have in this world is experience. Like I told you about the old Plymouth crankshaft, brother, by experience, I've overhauled a lot of cars since then, and I never have done that mistake again. Why did I not? Because of experience. And you have to have an experience of grace to be able to understand anything about what the primitive Baptists preach here in this world. And I trust, I believe with every fiber of my body that they're preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the power of God to everyone that believe it. The Apostle Paul told them at Rome when he got there. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, because it's a power of God unto everyone that believeth. And you can't get that word changed over to will believe to save your life. Now let's go back and read just a little bit further in Hebrews and notice what he tells us there. He said, everything that we have to do with him is
is open before him. Now, I've helped kill a lot of hogs in my life. I was at the age, back when my grandfather got too old to gut the hog, and he'd learned me how to do it. That was my job. And I've related that scripture. When you take everything out of that hog and gamble it, hang it up there, and open it up, there's not anything left in it. That might be a crude way of putting it, but that's the way that I've looked at it in this world. I know you're not supposed to eat that old pork. I went to a doctor to have an operation here a few years ago, and he won't know what I eat for breakfast. I said, ham, meat, gravy, and biscuits. He said, well, you ought to quit eating that old meat. I went back to take the stitches out. He looked at me, and he said, you got any of them hams? I said, yeah, got three hanging in the smokehouse. He said, bring me one of them. I said, no, they're too good, too high to buy and too good to sell. He said, well, I was going to pay you for it. You see, it wasn't going to hurt. It was going to kill me, but it wouldn't hurt him to do that. And he's an older man than what I was here in the world. I lost most of my grandparents here in this world. I believe one of them lived to about 93 and the other 88. On the other side of the family, they lived to 95 and 96. It finally killed them here in the world. You see, I believe the Bible is correct when it tells us that we can sanctify something. Oh, Lord, I ought not to got a hold of that, had I, because my time is about gone already. But we can sanctify something through prayer. I believe that prayer is a righteous act for the child of God to intercede in with God Almighty. And we have a priest that's sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for. Now, listen to what did the priest have to do with life back under the law? Not a thing in the world, did he? Didn't prolong life. Didn't do anything. What it did do was take the life of a beast here in the world to get the blood that it might be shed. But God didn't accept that blood for any payment for sin, did he? I've heard preachers say, well, it rolled them ahead a year. It didn't do no such thing. It brought them to your knowledge. That was the purpose of it. And when God said yonder in Hebrews through the Apostle Paul, or somebody said, you can't prove Paul wrote it. Well, I tell you what, he gave some big insinuations that he did. Do you know of anybody that suffered like Paul did in 1034? They would have even plucked their eyes out and give him to him. Do you know that anybody that had somebody set free like Timothy, his son, was in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews? So there's a lot of insinuations that Paul wrote that book to us here in this world. He was the apostle to the Gentile. He may have not been. Now, he tried to be. But he never was the apostle unto thee. He said, I could be accursed myself if my brethren understood what I understood today. You know, that'd be hard for me to pray. There's a lot of people in Nashville this morning that's running up and down the road. I know, because I left the Baymont and came down here. I told my wife last night, we went over there. I said, well, in the morning, there won't be too many people stirring around in Nashville this morning. Well, they're still stirring around. I mean, they don't evidently. I went to bed sometime during the night, and some of them got up and already stirring this morning. But let me tell you something, child of God, they wouldn't care a thing in the world about this pastor, what he preaches to you here in this world, until God convicts them of their sin. That's the first thing a child of God has to see in order to be able to see grace, is to see how wicked and undone that he is here in this world, and above all that, where he's going to wind up at. You know, it's not where you're, if you're going to spend eternity, it's where you're going to spend it at. And I don't know, the word spend may be a little bit short there. I used to go spend the night with my grandfather and grandmother on both sides of the house. And when it was over with, I went back home. Well, I'm going to tell you, here's something you ain't going to spend and run out of. It's going to continue on and on and on. That's a wonderful thought to be a poor sinner. You see, some people, I might ought not to mention it, but we've had some problems down, especially around my area with different people that, you know, got a little better than everybody else was. And I told them, I said, anything anybody does to me, I can take it to the foot of the cross and look up and see what Jesus forgive me for, and I'm forgive a man for anything everything they do for me, because I know a lot about myself that you don't know. That little brunette sitting back yonder that's turning gray after 50-something years putting up with me, why, she knows a whole lot about me. But there's some things in my thoughts that she don't know. I have things in my thoughts that I wouldn't tell you. I dream about things I wouldn't even tell in a mixed congregation here in this world. But let me tell you something, child of God, there's somebody that knows it. This priest that you have, this priest that's entered into that within the veil, that's anchored in our faith and soul yonder in the glory world, brother, he knows all about it because he was tempted in all points like as we are. Now, he didn't say take us out of the temptation. Romans, I believe it is, 1 Corinthians 8:1. I used to could rattle that scriptures off. Of course, that's been a few years ago. I'm getting a little bit now of, what is they call that? I forget now what it is even is, you see. So, but it's in 1 Corinthians 9 chapters where that's at. You see, there's no temptation taken to man except what is common to him here in this world. Now then, he tells us very plainly that he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. In other words, whatever trial that you're going through, there's one that knows all about it. He was tempted all about it. He knows every thought that you have even before it gets to you. That causes me a lot of trouble. That causes me to tremble and fear a lot of times. That I can just think that he knows my thoughts are far off even before that they ever come to me. You're talking about teaching or telling God something or administering to God something here in this world. You don't have anything that God hadn't already gave you to start with. I've got a little old farm down yonder in the edge of Carroll County that I was born on. I've got a deed over there in the safety deposit box that says it belongs to me. But I'm kind of like old Elder R.E. Moffmer said one time about a man talking about how much that he had here in this world. He said, "Now you mean I don't own anything?" He dropped his head and scratched it. He said, "Well, right now I don't have a good answer for you. But come back and ask me in 100 years, and I'll have a good answer for you." You see, whose is it going to be? It's going to be somebody else's at that period of time if this world is still going on. So then we ought to thank God that he's blessed us in the land of America, that he has, being in other nations in the Korean War where and other countries where that they didn't have what we have. I think it, maybe I ought not to say that, but I still think it would be good for every American to have to go to some country that doesn't have what you have here. I know there's a lot wrong with America, but brother, I'm going to tell you there's one that can straighten it up. And I believe, and I made this statement around home, and I don't mind making it here, if every child of God that has their name, or every human being that has their name in America on a church record book somewhere would get on their knees tonight and pray for the land of America, God would heal it. Because I believe there's enough people that belong to the churches here in this world. I thank God we got more church than just old Baptists. I believe it's about 6 between here and the road where you turn off to go over to the interstate, the first and down here. And wouldn't it be pitiful if there wasn't any better morals than what old Baptists is teaching here in this world? Thank God for the morals that they teach, that God's people might be convicted of their sins and then come to the old Baptist. That don't hurt to pray for that, because God, brother, will do it, I believe, if we pray for it and ask God to bless us with those things in this world. As I look out over y'all, I run into old Baptist preachers every once in a while. Well, it doesn't really matter. It's going to die anyway. Well, brother, it's been all down through the ages of time. Somebody talking about, well, you don't care about numbers. Well, you don't really need to care about numbers, all right. But let me tell you something, you can't have a church without numbers because it'll die and go out of existence here in this world. I remember in our association, the Big Sandy, West Tennessee, I have a minute of 1857, and that thing had 35 churches in it at that period of time. And you know how many it's got left in it? Four here in that time. What happened to it? God didn't change, but men have here in this world. They've argued and divided and separated. If you could just look up and see what God has forgiven you for, then I believe it'd be easy for us to give one another the transgressions and the trespasses that we have against them. Because when I remember and just think about what Jesus has forgiven me for. Brother Charles Sandage helped me several years ago. I 3-hour period of darkness, and I told Brother Charles, I said, it looks like I've sinned enough to cause him that much trouble. He said, Brother Fuller, multiply infinity time infinity. You come up with infinity. An eternal Son and an eternal God got the job done in a 3-hour period of time. Turned this earth dark, completely blackened. Flavian Josephus said it was so black you couldn't even take your finger and touch your nose. You might hit your forehead or your chin with it one, you see. What do we have? Let us labor to enter into that rest, though the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Somebody said, all you got to do is just believe in God. Well, we know how the Bible says, tells us to believe in God. He said, this is God's work, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. I thank you. May God bless you for your kind attention.